Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and I love our Wednesdays. And here it is, April Fool's Day, which it's my little brother's birthday today, and we always joked about what a joke they played on my mom, when he was born. But I love our first Wednesday of the month because it is the Sneaky Mom Show with the ever-clever Kaz Winters. So let's bring Kaz in. What's going on since last month, Kaz?
Oh, my gosh, all kinds of things. I don't even know where to begin. We've been having a pretty good time, actually. Yeah, we've been having a pretty good time overall, getting a lot of things organized with the business and making some changes in what we're doing. And pretty excited about all of it, getting, you know, things to where I can just say, okay, that's what we're doing here and there and putting things in order. And that's an exciting thing for me.
Well, you know, share with everybody what you've been doing before we get into the show. Because besides being the sneaky mom, you know, I mean, you have such an amazing array of things that you do and share.
You think so?
I do.
Well, let's see. My website's got about 600 pages. It has more than 1,000 activities and ideas on it for kids, articles about things to do with families, and things for all family members, not just children. We have several hundred books and products. A lot of the products are handmade or, you know, by crafters and stuff like that. There's just a wide variety of things. We have a lot of fun, and I know individually, I know every person that I work with, and a lot of the books I've actually published or illustrated or had something to do with. Some of them I've written, many of them I've written, actually. So we play all the time. There's a whole lot going on here, and I'm in the process of updating the entire site to work better with the Google search engines and stuff like that. So when you have 600 pages, that's a project. So that is what I have been doing most of the time lately. Yeah. That's where we're been.
Well, so. I love it. And it's so much fun to share you and everythingfamily.net, you know, with our listeners and everything else, because you really have created such a great space to find, you know, wonderful activities and all kinds of things, you know, for your kids, to do with your kids and everything else. And that's what the Sneaky Mom Show is all about. So let's get to today's conversation. For those of you trying to get into the chat room, I am very sorry, but my computer doesn't want to let me in. So if you're in there, chat amongst yourselves. And if you want to call us, our call number is 646-595-3163. Make sure you hit the number 1 so we know you want to talk to us. And without further ado, here is the Sneaky Mom, Kaz Winters.
All right. Well, today's show is about exploring nature. For kids who have been spending too much time indoors, getting outside can be a great adventure. And there are so many ways we can learn from Mother Nature, including how to appreciate and care for living things. So we're going to talk about hands-on fun outdoors. You know, spring is a delightful time for rediscovering nature, and kids and adults like to watch things grow. There is a sense of awesomeness when we plant things, and they grow, and they thrive, and they blossom, or even bear fruit or vegetables for us to enjoy. Planting seasons vary depending on where you live, but there is always something a child can plant and nurture, even if it's indoors. You know, some kids are perfectly at home when digging in the dirt, and others might go, ew. I've seen both kinds. And I always thought that making mud pies was pretty much fun, and I've been growing stuff and gardening for as long as I can remember. It feels good, and there are lessons to be learned, too. Some plants thrive, and others don't make it. And growing things requires a certain amount of care and attention, and that involves learning and being attentive to the needs of something other than ourselves. We can teach a child to rejoice for those that blossom and bear fruit, and a child is learning about nature through the process. It's a sneaky mom thing. Children can plant seeds or bedding plants in the ground or in pots. Pots can be used outdoors or inside. You can let them choose what they want to grow and label the pots or areas where things are being planted so they can recognize specific plants when they start growing. Seed packages have planting directions. Radishes come up really quickly, and it's exciting to watch them pop up and out of the soil. Even if a child doesn't like the way they taste, it's fun to see. There are several varieties of leaf lettuce, which are easy to grow. These also grow rather quickly, and they continue to grow, so you can take off the outside leaves and put them and harvest them for salads, and they'll keep growing more, which is kind of fun. You don't have to wait until you have a full head there to start using them and enjoying them. And other fruits and vegetables are just delightful to plant and eat, too. We've grown everything from carrots to tomatoes to beets to berries of various kinds. I can't even remember all the different kinds of foods we've grown. And when you eat something out of your garden, that is just an incredible feeling. Now, sunflowers are especially fun for kids because they get really tall and the flowers are very large. And the seeds can be roasted and salted and are quite tasty. Birds also enjoy the seeds, so if you don't harvest them, they'll have fun with that. You can choose an area where you can plant them in a circle and leave an opening on one side or so that there's a way to get in. So as the sunflowers grow, you can tie the tops together and make a tent, and the kids can play inside. It's a kind of a great adventure. Mm. And we've done that with beans, too, where you can tie them up and string them, and then you make a tent with that, the string beans. It's just fun. You know, a kid can play inside, and they can be Jack and the Beanstalk, or at least reading the story, perhaps. When you plant flowers and watch them bloom, there's a special kind of a thrill involved at any age. But it's even better when they're young. When you plant flower seeds, you can make a chart for watering them, and this will help a child nurture the seeds better, and they're learning how to take care of something that's growing and living. Teach them how to feel the soil before they water it so they don't get too much water on it. And there are so many things they can learn about caring for things. And bedding plants like marigolds, petunias, nasturtiums, they usually thrive. So you choose what works best for the climate where you live. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and we can plant and grow things all year long, which I really appreciate having grown up in Pennsylvania. As things begin to sprout, look at the shapes of the leaves for different plants and help a kid learn to identify them by their appearance. It's an easy way to learn something that most of their friends don't know, and it provides a sense of knowledge, and that can be empowering for little ones. When you know something that the other kids don't, that's pretty cool. And then they can pick flowers, they can make bouquets, they could decorate the table or put them in their room. Older kids might even want to press the flowers or leaves and use them for crafts or put them on greeting cards or maybe even put them in a frame once they're dried completely and use them as a gift for somebody. There are just so many things that they can grow outside. They can also plant kitchen scraps and watch them grow. Our favorites included carrot tops, sweet potatoes, pieces of white potatoes with sprouts, avocados, seeds from melons, squash, or pumpkins, and pineapple tops. We've even had mini apple and citrus trees growing in pots in our kitchen window. They began with seeds from apples and oranges we had for snacks, and it's fun to watch them grow. Of course, there are also plants with flowers that grow on their own. Some people consider them weeds, but they're missing out on the fun. The stems of daisies, clover flowers, and even dandelions can be braided together to make bracelets and necklaces for dress-up play. Dandelion leaves make a mighty fine salad, and of course, when they go to seed, you can make a wish and blow the seeds away. Hunting for four-leaf clovers can be a child's adventure that sometimes yields a clover with that extra lucky leaf. When that happens, that's exciting. That's a fun thing for kids. You can also give a child a camera or maybe a magnifying glass and let them take pictures of the things they see in nature or get a really close-up view of plants or bugs or rocks or whatever's out there, all kinds of things. It's fun to look at the close-up stuff, and a magnifying glass is a simple way to do it. And when you're taking pictures, you've got a record of things that you've seen that you like, because that's what we usually take pictures of, are things that we like. And when it's possible to get out of our neighborhood and enjoy a time outdoors, we can go to a park or a playground. Maybe there's a lake, a river, or a stream, or woods or forest, or even an ocean nearby. When we enjoy time together with our kids, we have to, of course, watch them for safety, especially where water's concerned. But you can skip stones across a stream. I can remember when we were kids, my grandfather was a really talented rock skipper. And he passed this bit of fun on to all of ours. What you do is you take a flat, smooth rock, and you hold it flat. You toss it sideways with a flick of your wrist, and instead of going into the water and sinking right away, it will bounce and skip across the top of the water before it goes down. And what's the cool thing is that if you can do that and your friends can't, woo, you are special. Bugs are outside too. And when we watch insects, that can be exciting learning for a kid. Of course, the happy bugs like butterflies and ladybugs are just plain fun. But you can help a child to observe but not be harmed by insects or to harm them. These little critters have jobs to do, even though we don't appreciate what they might do to some of our plants, which means they have them for lunch. A child can learn to identify bugs. They can look at the shapes and colors, count the legs and look at the body parts, check out their wings. So many are really quite lovely, and others are just plain, and some are even weird looking. Mother Nature does have a sense of humor. If a child is really fascinated with bugs, you can create an observation bug house. Use a clear container, a jar of some kind, and put a screen or netting over the top of it so that it'll allow the bug to move freely inside. And make sure that it's an insect that's not going to sting or injure the child. But add some twigs or leaves or a little small bottle cap maybe filled with some water. And just make it a pleasant temporary vision. Observe the little critter for a while and then set it free without harming it in the same area where you found it. The time we spend teaching a child about nature builds a special relationship. I grew up in the woods of Pennsylvania, and the many hours I spent in the woods there and in the forests of northern Arizona have made such a positive impression on me. Life is precious in all forms. Teach children to avoid what is harmful, but also to avoid harming living things. While spending time outdoors, look for creatures of all types. If possible, let a child look through binoculars to view birds or other animals. For older children, get a bird watching book and find sites online to help them identify the birds they are seeing. They can make a life list of birds that they have seen and recognized. This is just a notebook with dates of sightings of particular birds which have been identified. A good field book with bird guide can make it a very simple thing to do. When we first started watching birds with our kids, our oldest son looked through the lenses of the binoculars and focused on a cow in a field. Ever since then, we have jokingly referred to cows as big brown birds. He's now a grandfather, and I guess family sayings just continue to make us giggle for many years. Speaking of birds, kids can also do things like make birdhouses and bird feeders and place them in trees outdoors where the winged ones can be watched and enjoyed. Where we live, we have a lot of hummingbirds, and I dearly love watching these beauties. Many people have bird feeders to attract birds so they can enjoy watching them. If you start feeding wild birds with any kind of nectar or seeds, though, it is necessary to maintain it, for they can become dependent on your source of food. Water in a bird bath always attracts them, and it's fun to watch these creatures play and splash. Spring is a time when weather in most places warms up, and we often have spring rain to help things grow. Rain can also be good for playing. Walking in a drizzle can be refreshing, and we can even dance in it. When we get spring rains in the desert, we often find earthworms all over the ground. The rain seems to bring them out for a refreshing drink and shower. Of course, for safety, if there's lightning, stay indoors. And rain does provide puddles. Many younger children find that to be great fun splashing. And I think maybe some adults might get a kick out of it, too. Boots, raincoats, and umbrellas can feel like an adventure for some kids, and splashing can often develop into laughter. And, Dory, I think it's time for a break.
Well, hi. For those of you tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio with the Sneaky Mom Show, and I'm just smiling to myself, thinking of things with my kids. I still like to splash in puddles all the time. Love dancing in the rain. And it's so funny because my son bought a house, and the people who lived there beforehand had this beautiful wisteria vine and, you know, several bird feeders, bird baths, da-da-da-da. So my son and his fiance, of course, kept it up. I was there one time in a rainstorm, and we stood at the bay window in the family room. We actually wind up getting chairs and sitting there watching the birds in this downpour, playing in the bird bath. They were having so much fun. It was hysterical. I'd never seen anything like it. So I agree with you. Nature is just, it is so much fun. Oh, I want to say hello to our show sponsors today, safetyitsinthebag.com. You can go visit, pre-order your back-to-school bags and get free shipping. The bags will be delivered to you in July, so you don't have to worry about them being in the house and the kids using them now. You'll have them ready for the school year. So if you go to safetyitsinthebag.com, you can get your bags, backpacks, and everything else for back to school. And I want to share Alyssa and Debbie from If Not You, Who?
Do you ever think, what if I could change the world? When you hear a baby laugh. Don't you wish you could keep this baby happy and make this world a better place, especially for children? With your help, it actually can happen. Join with us at ifnotyouwho.org and lend a hand so all children who enter kindergarten will know the skills, behavior, and attitudes ready to learn. This new, unique, and free website, ifnotyouwho.org, did the research to help any adult to make a difference. Just get involved with a child ages 3 to 5 for 5 to 15 minutes. We like fun and games and songs to help a child learn. You too? Join us and be a part of changing the world, one preschooler at a time, because if not you, who?
I don't know about you, but I don't think there's anything better than a baby's laugh. You know?
It is pretty precious.
It really is. I mean, the kids laugh. It's so funny. You know, I'll be sitting in church and I'll hear somebody's child giggle, and it always makes me laugh. Or when I'll hear a baby squawking as somebody's singing, and I see their parents get really uncomfortable, and I'm like, well, obviously they're just singing along, so, you know, they just don't have words yet. So don't worry about it, you know? Well, we are back here with the sneaky mom, Kaz Winters, talking about exploring nature. So share some more fun stuff with us, Kaz.
All right. Well, still on the topic of rainstorms, one of the things that I absolutely love about them, and that kids do too, is that we often get rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And being in Arizona and Phoenix during the monsoon season, we get a lot of them. And they are just incredibly beautiful. And I think for kids and for adults, they're somehow magical. I can't tell you how many pictures we've taken of them. I guess that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is really the joy we experience in watching them. Kids love them. Give them a camera. Let them take sky pictures of rainbows, of sunsets and clouds. When a spring day is sunny and bright, a child can play with shadows. They can look for shadows of things, or they can make hand shadows on a wall or a sidewalk or wherever the sun is shining so that it works. You can even take your hands and make them look like they're making a bird fly in the shadow. And it's fun stuff to do. There are even books available with instructions on making hand shadows. And it's a good way to get giggles. We like it. Then, of course, there is the wind to make things fly. While March is the traditional month for kite flying, April is still a good month for this activity. And there are so many kinds of kites. You can, of course, purchase one to assemble it for flight. But we have made our own tissue paper kites in different shapes, paper plate fish kites, and, of course, the standard shapes, too. Adding crepe paper streamer tails makes them a bit more fun. And there are directions for a paper plate fish kite on my website at everythingfamily.net/marchcraft.htm. It's all lowercase, and Marchcraft is one word. Even a plastic grocery bag with a string tied through the handles makes a decent kite if you run and let it fill with air. It's cheap fun. Kids can have a good time just running with crepe paper streamers or ribbons or twirling them in circles. There's something enchanting about watching the colors move. Other things fly well, too. Paper airplanes or gliders can be simple fun for little children or aerodynamically designed by older kids who are fascinated with science of flight. These can also be decorated and colored easily, and that encourages the creative side of our budding engineers. There are ever so many paper airplane patterns, I could talk, online. Let a child research and choose some possibilities. older kids can research to see which designs have the best aerodynamics for flight. Hopefully, the spring weather will also make other outdoor activities enjoyable. Go for walks together. Play I Spy outdoors and see how many interesting things you can see. Take a hike. Adjust the terrain and distance to the abilities of those hiking and choose a suitable location. Take water and healthy snacks along. Walking can make you thirsty and hungry, too. Younger children can spend time on a playground, climbing on the equipment, or whatever it is that you have nearby that they can do. And you can, just getting outside, games like hide and seek or ghost in the graveyard, played in the yard or in a park. These are especially fun for older kids when played at dusk. Building obstacle courses is another interesting activity for school-age kids, and it can be a creative thing to do. And what they're learning in the process has something to do with physics and how things work. You know, so it's a sneaky mom secret. Don't tell them they're learning cause and effect. While outdoors, soak up as much of Mother Nature as possible. Look for rocks, shells, fossils, seed pods, twigs, sticks, and other interesting pieces of nature. We've had kids who would pick up a stick and play with it for days, literally turning it into everything from a pointer to a walking stick to a fairy godmother's magic wand. There is no end to what children's imaginations can create. As long as we don't squelch it or allow those who interact with our kids to do so. And then you can always look up, find pictures in the clouds, search for the constellations of stars at night, look at the moon through a set of binoculars, or better yet, if you have one, a telescope. Encourage older kids to research timetables for viewing special sky events like meteor showers, eclipses, and similar events, and put them on the calendar and watch them if possible. There is a lunar eclipse coming up soon. And that's getting up in the middle of the night to watch it, but it was worth it. I did it last time and took a lot of pictures. Visit a planetarium or other locations where you might be able to actually look through a large telescope and see stars and planets or other interesting things. Once we took our Girl Scout troop to Lowell Observatory, and they allowed our girls and the adults to climb up the ladder and look through the scope, and we saw the planet Venus during the day. It was an awesome event. I had the impression it was just our lucky day and it was not something that happens normally. You can get star charts and let kids look at those and identify constellations and planets. They're available online in some places you'll have to research. You can also make art materials and supplies available for a child or children to draw and paint what they see in nature and post their art on the fridge or a bulletin board. Talk about the beauty that they see. You can use those pieces of nature you collect to create artistic things, putting them together to make sculptures or crafts or weaving things together or building things with them like sticks. You know, they can build little houses or something to play with their toys or whatever, or dolls or whatever. It's amazing what they come up with. You can glue things together. You can carve or chisel things. Older kids can use a penknife and carve out stuff, and that's something they're learning. You can take leaves. You can take a leaf and just dip it in paint and use it and make prints on paper and make designs. You could make turn it into things to put on the table, you know, so you have placemats there that the kids have made. And finally, I've got activities in nature that will hopefully help the next generation of kids to mature and to love love nature and take care of our ecology. And so you want to recycle, to repurpose, and reuse things and dispose of trash and stuff like that in ways that are going to help Mother Nature and not make it worse. And I think that is pretty much where we are. We want to teach them how to take care of this planet. We want to teach them to enjoy the outdoors, to learn from nature. And I've taught hundreds of kids to do this through scouting over the years. And I'm just hoping and praying that many of them remember and follow what they have learned.
Well, I'm sure that they will, you know. It's interesting. And listening to you talk about not stifling a child's creativity, you know, so often when you share shows, it brings me back to my kids. My son, my oldest, it was creative writing. in class time, and they had a creative writing notebook, and it was their own stories, whatever. And he was big into gangster aliens at that point. And he wrote this magnificent story about these gangster aliens, and his teacher commented back that she didn't want him writing these kind of stories anymore, that she didn't like them.
That's horrid.
Thank you. I called up, and I was like, trying to be so diplomatic. And I was like, Gay, I really appreciate that these are not the kind of stories that you enjoy. They're not really my favorites either, but I am going to argue to the death for my son's right to write them. This is his creative writing period. This has nothing to do with curriculum or anything else. These are his stories. And for you to turn around as an educator and tell him he was not allowed to write them because you don't like them, shame on you. And she was like, you know what, you're absolutely right, and I owe him an apology. I was like, you do. And I would prefer it be a public apology, not a private one, you know, because you made him feel terrible, and you shouldn't do that, you know.
No,
and,
when
and
a kid labels themselves like that, that's disaster.
Well, he just felt like, well, I'm so sorry that you don't like these stories, but I do, so I'm going to keep writing them. You know, my son,
Noah was never
anything. Kid was a foreign lawyer, you know. 2 years old, he could try to negotiate with you why you should change that no into a yes, you know. I used to tell him all the time, it's like, look, rock meet hard place, because I'm mom. So you can talk till he's blue in the face, but my answer is no.
Well, you did a good job, Mom.
We try. You know, let's face it, we can give our kids wings, but they're going to fly on their own. And let's, the more we can share with our children, the more we can free their imaginations, the more, as adults, they are willing to take those chances. Because as children, they're willing to go for it. But if we as parents make them feel bad or whatever, the consequences, the uncertainty, questioning themselves and things like that. Not that it's bad to question yourself, but it shouldn't be to the point that it stops you from moving forward in things because you weren't given the confidence. That's why I love your show. That's why I love Productive Play. I think that, and that's why you and Alyssa and Debbie sponsor your show and you sponsor their show, because you guys have a marvelous mission and you're going to reach different parents because their kids are at different levels and everything else, but ultimately it is about the children and what we are trying to do to make it a better world for them, to make them better people in our world. It's the same thing with safetyisinthebag.com. You know, for me as a mom, I created a line of products to keep schools safe because kids shouldn't have to worry about their learning environment. You know, they should be able to go to school. Same thing with parents. Parents shouldn't have to be afraid of what is coming into school, guns, drugs, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. And there's nothing in their bag that anybody can't see because they shouldn't be. What in the world should anybody, and really in regular life, what should you have in your pocketbook that nobody can see? You know, we all know what we carry. You know, it's just trying to make it easier to make a difference. And that's what your show does. That's what your website does. Please visit Kaz at everythingfamily.net. You will love her site. You will love the books that you will find there and the activities you will find there. And be sure to connect with her at Kaz Winters, KASWINTERS. Connect with her. You will be so glad you did. It is so much fun. I so enjoy your show. Think about what's coming up next month for you. As I let everybody know, tomorrow on the Mompreneur Model, Nancy Muller will be with me from New Beginnings, and I'm really excited to be sharing her. She had me on her show not too long ago, and so I cannot wait to share her with our listeners. And Tuesday, Janice Clark will be here with Social Media Help Not Hype. We're going to do a show on Hootsuite. And then Wednesday in our Author's Alley, Dr. Christina Hibbert will be sharing her new book, Who Am I Without You? And I can't wait to have that discussion. So, Kaz, what's coming up for you on the Sneaky Mom in May?
We are going to celebrate mothers. We're going to make up our own fun for Mother's Day and also for Birth Mother's Day. Discover ideas for things children can do to make Mom's Day memorable and filled with love. We'll include neat stuff for grandmothers and great-grandmas, too.
Wow, that sounds like fun. Well, we will see you next time on Word of Mom Radio. For those of you tuning in, thanks so much. We love that you're here with us. And go out and create a marvelous you. So bye for now.
You too. Bye.